Amen.
We'd like to welcome you, those of you who may be watching on Facebook, and you that are right here present, praise the Lord. Now let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to talk to you on the subject of meditate on these things. Amen. What have you been meditating on lately? I don't need a verbal response, I'm afraid. But anyway, no. But God tells us in His Word what we really do need to meditate upon. And so I want to talk about that today. Meditate on these things. We'll call that the title of the sermon. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, after giving instruction to the people at Philippi, the church in Philippi, Paul says, finally, my brother, in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'd open our hearts and our understanding to the truth of Scripture, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your script, for the word. I pray your anointing upon your servant, upon your people today, for us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Meditate. There's a lot that's been said throughout time on meditation, to stop and to think, and even in the original language, it means to moving of the lips. Amen. Maybe not verbally or out loud, but to speaking actually what you're thinking. Amen. But today we're not talking about speaking about some carnal mind game or cultic way of controlling the mind, but concentration on spiritual things. The enemy of our soul attacks the mind continually with sinful things. There's an old proverb, it's not a scripture. It's probably been quoted as that before, but it's not. It says, an empty mind is the devil's workshop. And though it's not biblical, it is many times the truth. Because if you don't fill your mind with righteous things and the things of God, the enemy will figure out a way to fill it with all kinds of unrighteousness. But Paul here tells us to program our minds with thoughts that are true, noble, right, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. And so he says, think, concentrate, meditate on these things. And so let them be the object of your careful attention and study. That's what meditate means. So as to practice them, think what they are, think on the obligation to observe them, think on the influence which they would have on the world around you. And I believe it is time we examine what we are filling our minds and our hearts with continually. All means of communication, we live in the age of communication, massive communication, such as the world has never known, with the internet and things of that nature. But we can choose what we fill our minds with, such as television, internet, books, magazines. I want to tell you, the enemy of our soul has entered all these means of communication to try to corrupt them. But you and I make the choice on what to meditate and to keep our mind on. And so God requires us to have to take the responsibility to meditate on good things, things that are going to benefit us spiritually, not things that are going to drag us down spiritually. And so let us choose to fill our minds with the truth of God's word, to meditate on God's promises and His instruction on holy living. Amen. First, we'll deal with today, meditate on those things which are true. And we live in a world where you hear lies every day, and people speak things that are not lies. Many advertisements to sell things are not fully truth. They may be half truth, but they cannot actually do whatever they are advertised to do. You know, you can take pills to make yourself look 20 years younger, but I am not a betting man, but if I was betting, I'd bet they won't make you look 20 years younger. But I'm not a betting man. But there's all kinds of advertisements that are not true and things that will supposedly change your life forever. But I want to tell you, only God can change your life forever, and He can. But people begin to believe what they think on, and they eventually believe those things that are not good many times. When people meditate on sin, then sin becomes their behavior. And if a person meditates on hate all of the time, they begin to hate everything and everybody, and eventually people begin to hate themselves and commit suicide. Now that's the way the devil works, just to try to fill your mind with something that's against God until you do something foolish and sinful. But God wants us to meditate on the things that are true, and His Word is true, and truth comes from God. It can't have any other source. The only other way that things come to us is through the devil. And Jesus stood at a group of people and He said, "You are of your father the devil," because he's the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. And Jesus told that to a group of people who were trying to tell Him some things that weren't true at all. Amen. And so Jesus very boldly said where lies come from. And so when people begin to meditate on what might happen, they think it will happen one day. Let me give you an example. You know, since this coronavirus is going around, surely I'm one that will get that virus. If we get thinking that way, you'll believe that you got it whether you have or not, if you meditate on it too long. I hadn't been meditating there, I tell you. But we should be meditating on who the healer is, and our healer is Christ. And I want to expound upon this past our text of Scripture here, and in the book of Exodus chapter 15, I want to talk about this for just a moment, the truth of healing. And we do have a healer. His name is Christ, and He is the healer. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk about Israel. Let's use this for an example. Israel had traveled from Egypt. They had just been delivered from the gods of Egypt. I mean, God had brought judgment on all the gods of the Egyptians and even on Pharaoh, because he was worshipped as a god. And they all drowned in the Red Sea as the waters came back over and drowned them all. And Israel was free, and they went on. But they were only 3 days in the wilderness until they came to the place where there was a place called Marah. And there was no water. There was water in Marah, but the water was bitter. It wasn't fit to drink. And so the people thirsted there, and they began to blame God and blame Moses. Said, "Moses, have you brought us out in this wilderness to kill us all with thirst?" And so in just 3 days, they forgot all the goodness of God that delivered them from Egyptian slavery. And now there was no water. And I want to tell you something from experience. When you're thirsty, you can't think about much of anything except water. And so I grew up on a farm and knew what it was to work and out in the fields and everything. So we worked out there. And we got thirsty, and it was hot. And so we needed water to drink. Amen. By the way, we raised watermelons. And so we'd break one open. There was no such thing as paying $10 for one, or $5, $3 for one in the store. We'd cut one open and, you know, eat the heart out of it, and that's what you could do when you farm that. But they came to a place called Marah, M-A-R-A-H, Marah, and there was water there, but it was bitter. It wasn't fit to drink. And they were saying, "Moses, you said you were going to lead us to a land of milk and honey. We don't see any milk and honey. All we see is dry desert, and that's all." And so their meditation was good water. That was their thinking. That's all they wanted. But here they would learn to call on God. They would see that God was their provider. They would learn to live by faith, which is a lesson we all need to learn. Now they could concentrate on bitter water. They could become discouraged, talk of giving up, complain. They did all this. And to blame Moses, or they could concentrate on or meditate on the truth of who their God was and is. And here God reveals Himself to Moses as Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rophika. And since you don't know Hebrew, and I don't either, you don't know whether I pronounced that right or not. I know how to look up words. But this means Jehovah our healer. In Matthew 15, or Exodus 15, 26, God speaks to Moses, says, "If you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, then do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will bring none of the diseases on which you have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And that's who God is. Amen. And it's not that the bitter waters weren't real, they were, but God would heal them. And they would need God's healing power, and we need God's healing power physically, emotionally, spiritually, when our faith is being attacked by society's idea of truth. And Paul said, whatsoever things are true, meditate on the truth. Amen. And we need God's power to overcome the things of this world. And our nation today, and many people, are angry at various races of people and various things. Everybody feels like they've been mistreated and all these things. And there have been people mistreated since the beginning of time. Amen. But we need God to believe God for the healer. And we need to meditate upon Christ as our healer. Praise the Lord. God is familiar with all of your emotions. He created them. He didn't create everything you think about and concentrate on, but He did create emotions. And God is the healer of bitterness, of strife, of worry, depression, distress. God can heal those things, and many people need that kind of healing. We think of healing as somebody that just needs a foot or arm lengthened. Anyway, there's a joke on that. I won't go there. But we need spiritual healing. You need God's help to get through the day many times. Praise the Lord. But instead of meditation on what bad or evil things might happen, let us set our minds, meditate on the truth of who God is. Amen. And so here in the scripture, God showed Moses a tree. And Moses cut down the tree, and when the tree fell into the waters of Marah, bitter, they became sweet. And the people could drink and go on. And I want to tell you something. There is another tree that's talked about in scripture, and that's the one that Jesus died on, the cross. And here the bitterness of sin and death are taken away. Sweet forgiveness and reconciliation to God is provided by Christ who died upon that tree. 1 Peter 2:24, He who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Amen. And the Bible says the fulfillment of that verse, and part of that was in Romans or Matthew 8:16-17. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was written, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I want to tell you something. There is a healer in the house today. We serve a Jesus that's alive and true and well and real. We serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. He's a powerful God. We don't need to run from God and be discouraged and in distress. We need to concentrate and meditate upon the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And at the cross, Jesus endured every emotion you will deal with in life, both physical and mental, spiritual attacks of the enemy. And you never go anywhere that God hadn't already been. Amen. He never sinned, but he's walked scores of people, countless people, through things that would destroy their life had he not intervened. So we need to meditate upon what is true. The truth is, he is the healer. Amen. And I'm not a very good computer guy, but I would just tell you on the computer language, let's log on to truth. Man, meditate on Jesus as the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord for truth. So meditate on truth. And Paul says, second of all, meditate on whatever is noble. And noble here refers to a person of high rank or well-born. Noble describes that which is of honorable character. And you know, it may not be real easy to find all that many people of honorable character to meditate on. But we can meditate upon God. He's perfect character. Amen. And so it's not talking about just about people, but to meditate on whatever is noble. In this way, Christians can renew their minds so that they will not be conformed to the evil habits of this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's meditate on those things that are noble and high rank, well-born. Amen. And so the things of God are high rank, high as you can get. And our mind is renewed when we meditate on spiritual things, like who we are in Christ, not who we are in the flesh, but who we are in Christ, and where we are headed to a wonderful heaven, and the message of truth we believe and are following. Amen. And so we need to learn to concentrate and be meditating upon whatever is noble. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 through 4, it says, "Set your mind on things above." Amen. Somebody said that you're, you know, so heavenly minded, you're not any earthly good. There's few people that fit that category. Most people are so earthly minded. Anyway, you get the rest of the story. And so we need to set our mind on things above. My friend, we're not headed for this, what this world has to offer. My friend, the best is yet ahead for you and I. We're headed for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. We're headed for a wonderful city whose builder and maker is God. We have a wonderful future ahead, my friend. We can be encouraged if we'll meditate on what is noble. Amen. We have set our mind on things above. It's not that we lose control or our thought about things down here. Yes, we have responsibilities down here. We take care of family and friends and all the responsibilities that we have. But let's don't forget where we're headed. Set our mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Paul says, "For you died," it means dead to the life of sin, "and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And here's a verse speaking on the rapture of the church. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Amen. When Christ comes back, amen, catches his church away, when he appears in the heavens, you're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. And so Paul also tells us to bury some things that are not noble. Colossians 3, 1 through 5, "Therefore, put to death." You know, we have a mild way of saying things a lot of times. You ought not do that. You ought to just kind of stay away from that kind of behavior. Paul says you ought to put it to death. What does he say? "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornicating, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says, don't meditate on those things. Amen. We need to meditate on godly things. Things that will help us. Praise the Lord. So think on these things. Meditate on these things. Next, whatever is just. That means all that is in harmony with justice and righteousness. And we hear this often, it's true, that God is love. And God surely is love. And he's the definition of love. Praise the Lord, he's love, who love is. The Bible says God is love. But he's not necessarily our definition of love. God is love, but yes, God is a God not only of love, but he's a God of justice and righteousness too. Amen. There will come a day when every right, every wrong will be made right. Everything that's been unjust will become just. Amen. Justice will come. Righteousness will come. The Ten Commandments are God's rules for justice, righteous living, loving God with all of our being, and loving our neighbors ourselves. As a matter of fact, Jesus said all the law and the prophets are wrapped up in two commandments. One, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second, Jesus said, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All these are the law and the prophets. And that's what was taught throughout Scripture. And so whatever is just, meditate on these things. Justice, not my idea of justice, but God's. And God explains it very clearly in Scripture. And also, let's look at whatever is pure. He says to meditate on what is pure. Pure, clean, undefiled, morally innocent. Few things today are pure that are not contaminated by sin. And many political things are pure ignorance. You know, the King James Version, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And a little confession here. When I was in Bible college, whenever a guy would get mad at his girlfriend, he would say, I would not have you ignorant. That's bad. You two girls that were just standing up here, if a guy tells you that, you just tell him, I wouldn't have you either, ignorant. Okay. I got to get back to Scripture here, okay? So, but the Bible does tells us meditate on things that are pure. And this word pure is closely related with the Greek for the word holy, and thus means sacred. Meditate on those things which are sacred than are holy. You know, God wants us to be holy minded. And there's all kinds of definitions of holy out there, and I know they're out there, but holy is who God is, like God. And Paul commands the Philippian church, he says, deliberate, to evaluate, compute over and over in your mind what is good and pure, to log on to what is pure, honorable, and true. And so we are to meditate on those things that are pure. And let me give you an illustration of this. When the metal gold, and people talk about it all the time, and you're encouraged to buy gold. This is the only gold I've ever been able to afford. Here's one's on my hand. Well, a little bit more. I was able to afford one to be on her hand, too. Okay. Amen. But gold is, in the world, it's many times contaminated with ever other metals as well. And it must be refined over and over so that all the impurities in gold will rise to the top so they can be skimmed off. Now, as far as the natural man goes and far as the natural world goes, that's all I know about gold. But I read in Scripture that the streets in heaven are made of pure gold as transparent glass, because there's nothing there except real, true gold. And it's pure and it's transparent. Okay? And so I believe there's a reason why that Jesus talked to us in the book of Revelation chapter 3. And he is dealing with the church there in Laodicea, and he called it the lukewarm church. Because you see, they had a lot of things in there that needed to be skimmed off the top because they weren't pure. And he says, I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Okay, so Paul said, or Jesus says here, I want you to be like gold that's refined in the fire, that's pure gold. He says that to the church now. Praise the Lord. And so, in heaven, streets are of pure gold. And as believers, we aren't completely pure, but the Christ in us is completely pure. And you say, well, if Christ is in us, why are there people doing things that are impure that claim to be saved? You know, I'm glad, be thankful there's such a thing as repentance, and God allows it. Praise the Lord. And so God wants us to be pure, and God wants us to concentrate on those things which are pure. And I'm not talking about just gold. I'm talking about purity in belief, purity in action, purity in motive. God wants us to be pure. Meditate on what is pure. And moving on, meditate on whatever is lovely. That's number 5 if you're keeping score. And lovely means all that is pleasing and blesses others. And there's a lot of unlovely things in our world. There's a few unlovely people. There's a few unlovely things that happen. But humanity only wants to bless self. But whatever is pleasing and blesses others. How many things we do for me? For myself? Matter of fact, one of the greatest sins there are is selfishness and self-centeredness. Man, just so number one is okay. Everybody else can just be whatever they are. Just so number one is okay. That's me. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. And Jesus had nothing that he could gain by coming to earth. He created it. Spoke worlds into existence, universes into existence. And he had nothing to gain by coming to the earth. He didn't say, I'm just going to go down there and see if I can win the favor of everybody. And Jesus came to die and to pay the price for our sin. He came to give. He came to bless us. And we're blessed today because our sins are forgiven. We're blessed today because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're blessed today because we're on our way to heaven, not on our way to hell. We're blessed because we've been forgiven. And Jesus is Lord and King. Amen. He's our Savior. Hallelujah. And so, concentrate what blesses others. Amen. Last of all, it says, meditate on whatever is of good report. Oh my. Not everything that you hear is a good report. But what God says is good, holy, and pure. And you know what is good? I think we could bring the fruit of the Spirit into this, of good report. Fruit of the Spirit is, and what comes from the fruit of the Spirit is what comes from God. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not just something you get. The Holy Spirit is God. The fruit of the Spirit is this, is love. It is joy. It is peace. We don't like the next one, but the Lord is long-suffering. We like it because He's long-suffering with us, but God wants us to be that way too. And we're not very often. Fruit of the Spirit, kindness. Amen. We're talking about whatever is of good report. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Has God been faithful to you? I think He has. I know He has. Faithful to me, I know. Gentle. Have we always been gentle? No. Self-control. Have we always had self-control? No. Amen. I could ask for a testimony service. And we could all point to people, surely not us, but to other people who have had lost self-control of everything, you know. But meditate on that God is always in control. And whatever He does is always holy, pure, good, and true, and it's going to be right. Amen. And so, whatever is of good report, meditate upon these things. Let's meditate on the goodness of God, on the love of God, on the joy of the Lord, on the peace of the Lord, upon the long-suffering that God has been. Let's meditate upon His kindness. Meditate on His goodness. Meditate on His faithfulness. Meditate on His gentleness. Meditate on self-control. That which is, if there is any virtue, if anything praiseworthy, that rules out a whole lot of stuff. But if anything is praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. Meditate on the behavior that brings glory to our God. And in the end, Paul says here, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And this is a military term, the peace of God here. We think of peace, you know, when you have absence of conflict in your mind. That's not necessarily what the peace of God is talking about here. But Paul's choice here of peace is a military term that applies to the mind that is in the battle zone and needs to be protected by a military guard. You don't want to know how you can maintain the peace of God? When you start to do or say something and there's something that comes in your mind and says to you, don't say that to that person. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't participate in that. Because the Holy Spirit is saying to you, if you do that or say that, you won't have any peace about what you just said or did. The peace of God guards your heart, your soul, your mind. See, that's the peace of God there. That's part of spiritual warfare. The peace of God guards you from things that will be destructive for your life. And so let's choose what we meditate. Amen. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever thing is honest, whatever thing is lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, meditate on these things and the peace of God will be with you. Praise the Lord. So I believe the Lord wants us to meditate, and there's many things we can meditate on today, and I'm not going to continue to meditate upon all the violence that's in our nation, but let's meditate upon the goodness of God. Amen. And let's pray for people that are out of control. They need Jesus in their heart and in their life. That's the only answer. Praise God.